You've got legal issues.
We have attorneys that focus on helping solve legal problems. Let's talk.
You're listening to AttorneyTalkRadio.com. Here is your show host, Brian French.
Hi, this is Brian French. Today, our special guest is Joel P. Mullen, and Joel is the co-founder of the Mullen Gutman Law Firm based in Edina, Minnesota. And Joel has a JD degree from Hamline School of Law and is a former board member of the Minnesota State Bar Association Elder Law Council. You can reach Joel directly by visiting his website, MullenGutman.com. That's MullenGutman.com, MullenGutman.com. Joel, welcome to the Estate Planning and Estate Settlement Radio Show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Brian.
It's a pleasure to have you on our show. Joel, I know you're a specialist in estate planning, and estate planning can be a complicated and confusing subject for many people. Knowing this, how do you help people understand what estate planning is all about?
Well, it's true. Estate planning is complicated, and the reason for that is you're not just dealing with wills and trusts. Estate planning encompasses many, many different areas of the law. So you're talking about family law, asset protection law, elder law that you had mentioned, real estate law. All of those different areas of the law intersect with estate planning. And so it is confusing. However, the best way for me to help clients understand estate planning is to get away from the complexity and basically break it down into goals. What is the client trying to achieve? Now, the truth is, for most families, the goals of estate planning are the same. And there are four main goals that I tend to focus on. And those goals are, we want to avoid probate. That's the court proceeding we go through when a decedent dies to transfer title from the decedent to the heirs. And in most cases, we want to avoid that. Number two is we want to not only pass assets to beneficiaries, but we want to protect it. And number three is we want to plan for incapacity. So we're not talking about death. We're saying who's going to make the financial, legal, healthcare decisions for us if we can't make them for ourselves. And then number four is we want to reduce or eliminate the estate tax. And if you focus on those goals, then it helps the client understand what they're trying to achieve. And then we can talk about the tools, whether it's wills or trust, on how to achieve those goals.
So estate planning basically is a combination of not just financial planning and legal planning. So it does really consolidate a person's entire financial goals.
Well, it's true. The estate plan is really nothing more than the fruition of a good financial plan. And I always tell people an estate plan has a premise to it, and that's what's ever left, whether it's 10 bucks or 10 million. And that clients of mine, I always encourage them to work with a qualified financial advisor to help ensure that there is an estate to pass on.
Can you help our audience understand the main difference between a will and a trust?
Yeah, I can. And it's a difficult subject because most people, Brian, conceptually understand wills. In my experience, they've seen those old Hollywood movies where the business owner dad dies and there's that dramatic reading of the will at the lawyer's office and you find out if like the bad son got the business, that sort of thing. And that's kind of how wills play out. And wills do three really important things. They name guardians for our minor children. They name who's going to be the executor, or in Minnesota we call it a personal representative, who's going to shepherd you through the probate process. Mm-hmm. And number three is it names who gets our stuff. Usually it's our children, but if not children, it could be charities or other beneficiaries. And that's what wills do. But there's one thing, and I think this is the biggest misconception in all of estate planning, is there's one thing that wills never do. Wills do not avoid probate. In fact, probate in Latin means to prove up the will. So the tool that we use to avoid probate is called a revocable living trust. And in my experience, people do not understand trust. conceptually, it's a difficult subject for them. But I've come up with what I think is a really great way to help my clients understand the difference between wills and trusts. And that's to say that a trust is really nothing more than a will alternative that also avoids probate.
I understand that Minnesota law is unique in terms of protecting assets for beneficiaries in estate plans. Can you tell our audience what makes Minnesota unique?
Yeah, and it is true. Minnesota is very unique in this regard because in Minnesota we have a planning opportunity we don't have in other states. And that is that we can protect assets for our beneficiaries from their future divorces, lawsuits, bankruptcies, claims of any kind. But that's not what makes Minnesota unique, because you can do that in all 50 states. What makes Minnesota unique is that we are able to have the beneficiary be their own trustee. And it's a complicated issue of the merger of interest between the beneficiary and the trustee, and it's a little too much to get into today. But the truth of the matter is, in Minnesota, we can have our cake and eat it too. It's usually the issue will come down to whether clients want to protect assets for their kids from their future divorces and lawsuits, et cetera, or do they want to allow their kids to control their assets or inheritance. And in Minnesota, we're able to get both. We're able to let our beneficiaries control their share and have it protected from creditors.
Joel, the law, hasn't the law changed recently as far as estate taxes? And, you know, who is this affected, and what are these changes that have occurred as far as the estate tax?
Well, earlier this year, or some would say late last year, Congress has President Obama signed a new tax relief act that said that the new estate tax exemption for 2013 would be $5.25 million for each individual. And that means that there's very few families across the country that are going to have an estate tax issue down the road. I think I heard, although I couldn't confirm this, that there's roughly 7,000 families a year that are now projected to be affected by the federal estate tax. Mm-hmm. However, in Minnesota, Minnesota has their own estate tax.
Really?
And that exemption is $1 million per individual. So most of our clients have a very significant Minnesota estate tax to deal with, even though they may not be affected by the federal estate tax.
And I understand if people are domiciled in another state yet own assets in Minnesota, you know, they should look into whether or not Minnesota will have a claim as far as estate tax. Is that true? Let's say if somebody lives out of the state of Minnesota and they own, let's say, a lake cabin or property in Minnesota, might they be taxed as far as owning an asset that is in Minnesota?
Yes, there is a filing requirement for any person that owns real estate in Minnesota. And therefore, even though they might live in another state, they would have a filing requirement in Minnesota, and most people don't realize that. So for people that do not live in Minnesota but own property here, they may still be affected by the Minnesota estate tax.
Sure. Joel, what are some of the kind of risks and downfalls of doing the do-it-yourself type of will documents?
Well, in a nutshell, it just is not, in most cases, going to play out the way that you want it to. Every single state has different laws regarding estate taxes, asset protection. As I mentioned, Minnesota's unique in that regard. And most of the online will or trust companies try to do a uniform product. And that uniform product basically means it spits out what the client doesn't necessarily want. And moreover, if a client is answering their own questions or the questions that are prompted on an online system, they may not know how to answer those questions.
Sure.
And those can have real effects when the estate is administered. Not only that, but one of the goals that most people have with estate planning is to simplify the administration. In my experience, people who have done online estate planning tools, have a very complicated and expensive administration when someone passes away. So in most cases, you can save your money because it might cost you much, much more in the long run to do one of those online estate planning services.
Sure. We're talking to Joel P. Mullen, and Joel is the co-founder of the Mullen Gutman Law Firm. And you can reach Joel directly at 613-756-7272. And Joel serves the estate planning needs of the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. Joel, in my experience, a lot of people want to treat their children equally, but in many cases, there's unique needs. There's children that maybe struggle with addiction or have other personal issues. What do you tell people that are facing kind of those unique circumstances of how an estate plan can be crafted and tailored to meet those circumstances?
Well, first and foremost, they have to be very, very careful about constructing their estate plan when any of their potential beneficiaries are already in a situation where they're receiving governmental benefits. If they are inheriting assets and they're inheriting those assets outright, meaning it's just going into their pocket, then more often than not, they'll be kicked off of those governmental benefits. Now, you can utilize what's called a supplemental or special needs trust to allow those children to inherit assets and still allow them to qualify for those governmental assistance. So for anyone who has that situation in their family currently, they really need to talk to a qualified estate planning attorney to make sure that it plays out the way they want to. Now, when it comes to other issues like, let's say, addiction, a real clever way for estate planning practitioners to deal with that is to have what I call a what-if or compelling reasons provision in their estate plan that says if there is a potential beneficiary who is about to receive their inheritance or a trust share, that if the trustee or administrator of that trust determines that that person is ill-equipped to handle it at that time, they have a provision in the document that will allow them to hold it back. Now, it must be, in most cases, for a compelling reason, not just because they don't like the beneficiary's tattoo, but it must be for addiction or something more serious. And that's a real good way to handle those circumstances that might come up in the future that we're not aware of today.
Some people, obviously, as they get older, they go through declining health and, you know, nursing home issues get involved. And how do people protect their assets in the case of a long-term care event? Can you discuss maybe how Minnesota law treats trusts in regards to medical assistance?
Well, Minnesota is a very difficult state for asset protection planning in regard to Medicaid or medical assistance, long-term care planning. In other states, practitioners can use irrevocable trusts and some other planning opportunities to protect assets from that circumstance. However, in Minnesota, no trust can be used to qualify for medical assistance. In other words, since 2005, even irrevocable trusts in Minnesota are considered revocable for medical assistance purposes. Mm-hmm. So the truth of the matter is, in Minnesota, there's very little that the estate planning practitioner has in their tool belt to be able to help with that situation. And that's why, again, I always say an estate plan has a premise to it, and that's what's ever left. So unfortunately, in Minnesota, we don't have as many tools available to us as estate planning lawyers in other states might have to protect in that situation.
Now, I know Minnesota, on a brighter note, Minnesota is the land of lakes, right? And a lot of people have lake cabins. And I understand that if you have a cabin, that does create estate planning issues. Can you kind of discuss a little bit about what planning for estate plan and how that involves a cabin that may be owned by a family?
Yes, I can. Cabins are a big problem here in Minnesota because when mom and dad pass away and they leave a cabin as part of their estate to their children, let's say they have three children, Brian. Well, those three children are going to inherit the cabin. And it's going to be very enticing for them to decide to keep the cabin because it may seem like the perfect situation.
Sure.
None of the kids might on their own be able to afford that lake cabin, but when they're sharing it between their siblings in thirds, it makes it much more affordable. However, it won't take long for those kids to have issues with the cabin's use and equity and taxes and expenses and maintenance and buyout provisions and all of those things that are an issue when you have multiple owners of a single property. And just to give you a flavor of that, let's say mom and dad pass away and they leave a cabin to their three kids. And let's say that cabin's worth $100,000. Well, if one of those kids is not interested in being a cabin owner, they're going to want to be bought out. But the truth of the matter is their siblings who want to remain in the cabin have really no financial interest in buying out their sibling.
Sure.
And if the cabin was worth, say, $300,000, then the child who wants out is going to demand $100,000. And if they don't receive it, they're going to feel cheated out of their inheritance.
Right.
But all that the siblings would benefit from buying them out is the potential equity they might have in that cabin. But it also means they'd have additional taxes and expenses that they need to pay. So there's many, many problems that are bound to come up with a cabin, and there's ways to deal with it. There are called cabin trusts and cabin LLCs that will lay out the parameters of the cabin's use and equity and taxes and expenses and the all-important buyout provisions to help ensure that this is not a problem for the kids.
That's so important. And, you know, these documents and the estate plans that people leave behind are really the last legacy that a parent leaves to the children. And to have that organized in a manner that will give them the best opportunity to settle an estate, to obviously a family cabin is something that is most likely near and dear to people's hearts. And to have that opportunity to plan that out is really an important reason to talk to a specialist like yourself. Again, we're talking to Joel P. Mullen, and Joel is the co-founder of the Mullen Gutman Law Firm based in Edina, Minnesota, and they serve the needs of Minneapolis-St. Paul community. And you can reach Joel directly at 612-756-7272. That's 612-756-7272. Joel, if people have a unique circumstance and they want to create an estate plan that takes into account the legacy that they leave behind, do you offer a consultation for folks?
Yeah, we always offer a free consultation to any potential client, just to give them an opportunity to talk about their circumstances and what their concerns are. And in that meeting, we'll talk about the potential tools, whether it's a will or a trust, that can help address those concerns.
That's excellent. Thank you, Joel. This is Brian French with the Estate Planning and Estate Settlement Radio Show. Thank you and have a great day.
Thanks for having me, Brian. Thank you.
You've been listening to AttorneyTalkRadio.com with your show host, Brian French.
Remember to download and share this episode on social media with your tribe.
AttorneyTalkRadio.com.